new investigation into Wall Street's role in the mortgage mess.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The New York State Attorney General has reportedly opened an investigation into how big banks packaged loans into securities during the housing boom. The inquiry is said to target major financial institutions, including Bank of America and Goldman Sachs. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is on this story for us this morning, and he joins us now live. Good morning, Mitchell.
Hi, Jeremy.
Well, tell us what we know so far about this investigation.
Well, remember, big banks pooled home mortgages, and then they sold the securities onto investors in the housing boom. But some of those loans were so risky, they probably should never have been made, let alone put into securities.
Right.
Now, the New York Attorney General is looking into the role that Wall Street banks played creating and marketing these mortgage pools. Did they know how risky they were and try to hide that, perhaps? Did they make sure the mortgages themselves were properly documented? The banks and the AG's office aren't commenting, by the way.
And Mitchell, we're talking about the New York State Attorney General, who has some powers that are pretty unique to that position, right?
Right. Something called the Martin Act of 1921. Basically, it's a big stick. It's only available under New York state law, with sweeping subpoena powers and a pretty low bar for proving fraud, according to Chris Whalen at Institutional Risk Analytics.
Most of the securities world operates under New York law, and insurance companies that wrote cover for mortgage-backed securities did so from New York. Combine that with the punitive aspects of the Martin Act, it really has probably more teeth.
And Whalen says New York could hit targets harder than the feds. And this whole thing may signal that the New York AG doesn't want to go for a weaker settlement that a bunch of other states are pursuing over abuses of homeowners and foreclosure.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Thanks, Mitchell.
You're welcome.
Well, the business-themed social networking site LinkedIn goes public on Thursday, but it's not getting near the attention of its social networking rivals, Facebook and Twitter, both of which are expected to file for public offerings soon. Sally Herships reports.
Hear that? Yeah, quiet. Tom Tully advises tech companies. He says that silence could be the sound of success.
Yeah, if you don't have the razzle-dazzle, you won't have the crazy valuation.
Tully says frenzy can create big swings in stock prices and regret.
You know, before you make a big commitment, whether it be dating someone or getting married, you may want to think about it once or twice. But when it comes to these hot IPOs, a lot of investors don't.
And end up losing big. Tully says when RenRen, China's version of Facebook, went public, it dropped 50% in a week. He says LinkedIn isn't likely to do that. But will LinkedIn's IPO tell us anything about what might happen with that other social network? Tim Beharin is president of high-tech research firm Creative Strategies.
And I really am not sure you can, you know, look at this and see any indication of how Facebook would be. It really is apples and oranges.
LinkedIn's non-frenzy is expected to raise almost $300 million. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly lower in overseas trading this morning. Walmart said today that sales at its U.S. stores fell by about 1% last quarter. That was the 8th straight quarterly drop for Walmart. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 47 points to close at 12,548.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. By Manta, connecting millions of small business owners with new customers every day. On the web at manta.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
The European bailout of Portugal is official. EU finance ministers formally agreed on the terms last night. That means so far, three countries that use the euro have been rescued from potential default. And Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports all these bailouts are souring feelings among Europeans about their union.
At a garbage collection center in Lisbon, workers are on strike protesting the terms of Portugal's bailout. They object to the deep cuts in public spending aimed at reducing the country's debts. Union organizer Luis Dias.
But who is paying these debts? It's the workers, the Portuguese workers, the Portuguese people. It's not the banks, it's not the government, it's we are.
Portugal enthusiastically adopted the euro, but union official Ana Oliveira says the bailout has underlined the downside of belonging to the eurozone.
We cannot manage our deficit as we want. We cannot choose the economic policy we want, but we have to accept what is imposed by the European Union.
There's even more dissatisfaction with the EU in Germany, but for different reasons. On the streets of Berlin, people complain about having to bail out other Europeans after they've failed to be as prudent as the Germans.
We, the Germans, also had to face a lot of social cuts in order to avoid to get into trouble as Portugal, Ireland or Greece now is.
I mean, it's their problems, not ours. Why should we do something about it?
Many Germans feel betrayed, says Hans-Olaf Henkel, former head of the Association of German Industries. He says the public voted for a currency union, but they got what Germans call a transfer union instead.
Which means that the German taxpayer in the future will also have to support Greece, Portugal, Spain, probably Italy and eventually France.
Supporters of the euro say such fears are certainly exaggerated, but the single currency, which was aimed at bringing European countries closer together, appears to be having the opposite effect. At the European desk, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, to a gas station I wish I had driven by the other day here in Los Angeles. It was selling gas for $1.10 a gallon, $1.10. Police had to direct traffic after customers lined up down the block. Turned out it was a computer glitch that went on for 4 hours before the pumps were shut down. The gas station owner says he lost $21,000. He's asking the customers who benefited to use some of their savings to buy something at his convenience store. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
You think China's economic rise is something new? Yeah, not really.
Well, China is a huge country, which throughout of its history has considered itself the central kingdom of the universe that they knew. So they have a tradition of being the dominant country.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Henry Kissinger reflects on China. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.